March is Women's History Month, and we decided to observe it with a special series, Women in Tech. This month, we'll speak with women trailblazers about the advances they're making in the tech world. They'll also share how they're mentoring young women and girls in computer science and trying to get more girls interested in tech early on. We'll hope you will listen throughout the month. On Twitter, women from around the world will live tweet their days using the hashtag NPRWIT. You will be able to follow an inventor from IBM, a tech executive from American Express, and entrepreneurs from Silicon Valley to South Africa. Today, we launch the series with Christine Celise Johnson, founder of Diversitech. That group is devoted to increasing minority representation in tech and providing young entrepreneurs with the resources they need. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you.
And Ana Roca Castro is founder of Latism, which brings together Latinos in tech innovation and social media. She's also founder and CEO of Plaza Familia, a bilingual education platform for Latino youth. Ana Roca Castro, welcome back to you. Thank you for joining us once again.
Thank you for inviting me again.
But to get us started, I just have to share a few statistics about women in tech, kind of discouraging. Between 2000 and 2011, the number of women interested in majoring in computer science dropped by 79%. That, according to the National Center for Women and Information Technology. And the U.S. Census Bureau says women's representation in computer occupations has actually declined since the 1990s. In 2011, 26% of STEM workers were women and 74% were men. So Ana Roca Castro, let me start with you. It's one thing to start with a workplace where women were explicitly excluded, but then to have a decline, why would that be?
You know, there are many reasons, and I think it starts at the root. Usually when schools engage in tech programs, they usually target the boys. And even if they don't target the boys, the games look for boys, the experiments are exclusively for boys, the toys look like boys. So it's right from the beginning, and then college gets there, and same thing. You know, you're in a room. College is already intimidating for a girl, but then you're in a room full of boys, and they usually are called names. They're usually excluded, even by fellow girlfriends. They're excluded, but boys can be very cruel at that age. And then at the workplace, you know, I've been a developer in a typical company, and I would say 90% of the jokes were about me, and usually I would just like call out, "Hey, estrogens in the house," you know. So,
but that gets old. I guess what you're saying is that gets old after a while.
Totally.
Yeah. Christine, what about you? Why would there be a decline?
I think that there just needs to be a huge cultural shift. When you look at the job market in general, I think there are a multitude of avenues that people can take in general. Maybe STEM isn't perceived as sexy enough these days, especially for women, but in our girls. But when we look at it, there needs to be a true cultural shift at this point, because, you know, this is a critical time as far as workforce development, different areas of opportunity as far as tech entrepreneurship and otherwise. So I just wonder if the field is, as far as work opportunities, is pretty broad, and we need to kind of, you know, make a special effort to bring the girls back and show them the vast opportunities in the STEM field.
You know, we had a Facebook chat a couple of weeks ago for this series, preparing for this series. One participant, Demetrius Hicks of Washington, D.C., wrote in about young women in his high school who said they weren't interested in tech. He wrote, quote, "Often they said it was just too much work, although these same females," no, these are, I'm quoting him, "were doing much better than their male counterparts, including myself. Therefore, a question, what's the reason behind this lack of confidence then when they're more than capable?" Just a brief final thought. I don't know, maybe Christine, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. You know, that makes me think about my own personal experience. In my home, I was the writer. I was the creative. My brother was the techie. So it really wasn't encouraged as far as me pushing forward, even though I was pretty good in different subject areas as far as STEM. Once I hit that barrier, hit challenges, my parents didn't really push for me to you know, move beyond that point, because my brother was considered the techie. It was the male-female thing. So I think really when I hear these examples, it really goes back also to the home, having a cultural shift in the home so that you're not pushing your daughter towards one area and your son towards another. That really needs to be an acknowledgement of where the talents in general, as far as your young people, regardless of what their gender is, and being very conscious of incorporating, different areas for your girls and your boys.
Speaking of culture, though, on the flip side, we just saw a story from TechCrunch about UC Berkeley's introductory computer science course. For the first time in its history, it has more women than men enrolled, just slightly more, 106 women versus 104 men. And they said that this might be because they changed the curriculum to be more team-oriented, according to Professor Dan Garcia, who taught the course last spring. So, Anna Rocha-Kester, I want to hear your feedback on that. You think that might make a difference if the way these courses are taught, the way they are described, could be made more appealing? It's not so much the substance, it's the way it's pitched. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think more than the actual course, because at the end of the day, the curriculum, it's always going to be the curriculum. It's the recruitment. I think universities have to have a stronger recruitment effort when it comes to recruiting women, recruiting girls. They have to have more presence of women engineers in the high schools, in those career fairs, and so on. And speaking of culture, I think when it comes to the Latinas and the African Americans, that's drastic when it comes to technology. So, I don't think it's so much the way you put it, but more going and tell them, look, you are fit for this. You are, you're smart. The whole traditional perception of smart and being intelligent is something that's not necessarily communicated to us. It doesn't identify with many of us. So to go there and hear it from a fellow engineer other women to just come to our colleges and our schools.
Let me just ask about people who are further along past the college age. I want to loop back to something, Anna Rocha-Kester, you were telling us a few minutes ago. And if you're just joining us, we're kicking off our month-long series, Women in Tech. Our guests are Anna Rocha-Kester of Latism, Latinos in Social Media, and Christine Solis Johnson of Diversitech. We came across this other number, which is also discouraging. For women who do go into STEM, it appears that there are some things that are also pushing them out. It says, we found that after 12 years, 50% of women who originally worked in STEM have exited and are employed in other fields. That, according to the social research journal Social Forces, which is published by Oxford University Press. Thoughts about this? Christine, do you want to start? Christine Solis Johnson, why would that be?
I think that you have to look at we keep bringing up culture, but it's so relevant in many respects when we talk about diversity and tech inclusion. Is the space safe? Anna brought up her examples of, having jokes being directed towards her. We really must, as we move forward to create these programs to include more women, more people of color, we have to look at it from the holistic perspective. Is that corporate culture even prepared or sensitive to the needs of those new groups in the space? Are there policies set in place to make those individuals feel safe, protected, and valued? There really needs to be a hard look at not just recruitment, but what do you do when you're in the space? How are those folks retained and welcomed in the space and their needs met as well?
Anna Rocha-Kester, why does this matter? I mean, I'm sure that there are some people who will be listening to our conversation and will say, okay, well, maybe this is just a personal choice. These are lifestyle choices that people are making. They have every right to make. Why does this matter?
It matters a lot because when I was at the UN, I was managing over 700 engineers. I was making less money than the guys. And when it came to get the promotion, the guys got the promotion, not me, who actually did the work. And I had to travel to like 5 continents on a monthly basis. So there is a huge discrimination. And I'm talking about just a personal experience. But go look at statistics. When it comes to promotion, when it comes to the pay rate, the women with the same level of education, same capacity, and many times higher dedication, because we tend to be very devoted to our work, we get less money, we get less promotions. So that's super discouraging.
And finally, you know, on a matter of startups, and I want to mention once again, throughout the course of the month, we'll be hearing all kinds of different experiences, hearing lots of data about this issue. But I do have to ask again on the whole question of startups and investment. Shireen Mitchell of Washington, D.C. wrote during our Facebook Q&A, I don't think that women aren't founding startups. I just don't think they're getting the investment support that others are getting. Christine Solis-Johnson, final thought from you for today. Is this true? And what would change that?
I think it's very true. I think it's true for women. And then if you go to another level, you look at minority groups. And what would change that definitely is that I think that it's helpful for us as women to change our strategy as far as how we approach this space, approach access to capital. We need to find those that are supportive and our allies. Look into who the investors are or those in general that are leaders and really identify those individuals and develop relationships with them because they will be definitely your advocates moving forward to get you in those spaces so that you can do the work necessary to win the dollars.
Christine Solis-Johnson is founder of Diversitech. She joined us from NPR member station WLRN in Miami. Ana Roca Castro is founder of Plaza Familia and Latism, which connects Latinos in tech innovation and social media. And she was kind enough to brave the snow to join us from our bureau in New York. Ladies, thanks so much for joining us to kick off our special series.
Thank you.
Thank you.